Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. This has been... Wait, have we done a swap before? I feel like we have.
Yes. Like early, early days for us. Now, I don't know if it was a swap because I just remember you came on ours like year one for us.
Okay, yeah. Well, I am so happy to have you guys on. I'm joined today by Lauren and Chandler of The Pop Apologists, but I think our sisters might be best friends.
I think they are.
Yeah, there's definitely a familiar relationship. I mean, I think that The Bad Broadcast and Pop Apologists, there's a lot of crossover, right? Because we both started in Provo. We have family members in Utah. Or I don't know about started in Provo, if you were in Provo.
It's all one blob. I think I was living in Salt Lake, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, we were in that scene essentially at the same time. I think when we were like both starting our shows. So anyway, yeah. I think there's a lot of crossover. But yes, our sisters are best friends. My brother-in-law actually was chatting with me at one point and was just basically telling me how successful he heard you were. So congratulations.
Well, that's really nice. I bet he got that info from my brother, Taylor. So
that's
I don't
exactly
know how accurate it'll be,
from.
But yeah, I always credit Taylor. I'm like, Taylor is my brother. I mean, all my brothers were great, but Taylor was the brother who was like, you have to start this. You have to do it. And so I always credit him. So he probably talks it up way too much. But no, I've heard nothing but lovely things. I met Courtney once in person, but heard nothing but lovely things. And obviously, I'm obsessed with the Bledsoe sisters in general.
Oh my gosh. You are so sweet. Well, we're obsessed with The Bad Broadcast and so excited to be here.
Yeah, I need to say thank you to Taylor for actually getting you to start the show. I mean, what would it be? I don't even want to imagine a world where he hadn't encouraged you.
I know. We really do owe it all to him. Okay, so I thought today it would be appropriate, since I have the Pop Apologist girls on here, I want to talk about some iconic pop culture moments of the past. I've done something similar before, talked about scandals, things like that, but I asked you guys to compile a list of some of your most iconic, I kind of picked the ones that I feel like personally, for some reason, they took up a lot of time for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought you guys would be the perfect pair to discuss this with. I guess before we do that, no, let's just dive in. I guess I don't really have anything else to say. Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
Let's dive in.
Okay, perfect. Who wants to start? Let's go. We'll start. Chan, why don't you kick us off?
Wow. I feel honored to be kicking us off. I want to also start this by saying that I use ChatGPT to get me an outline of this first scandal. And let me just tell you that ChatGPT, I discovered, got a lot of things wrong.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
It's discouraging considering how often I use ChatGPT to teach me absolutely everything.
And ChatGPT was also so sure of itself. And it was really staggering when I fact-checked ChatGPT. But apparently, you know, like I said, ChatGPT got it wrong about the Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I don't even care. The Arnie Schwarzenegger scandal, AKA the love child, the affair, all of that. Do you guys remember where you were when this news broke?
What year was this?
This was probably 2011. Was when
so
it
dad
broke.
Was driving me actually to the airport. I remember passing Golden Spoon. No, I don't remember.
Oh, I'm like,
do you remember where you were?
Well, I do. Here's why I remember where I was, or at least the frame of mind I was in. And that is because I was a diehard Arnie Schwarzy fan. You know, I loved any Republican men that mom loved, i.e. George Bush, i.e. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm. And if you remember, he was governor of California. So let's start at the beginning. So essentially, Arnie Schwarzy, Arnold married Maria Shriver in the late 1980s. And they, you know, had four children together. He, you know, was governor. And news broke in 2011 that he had fathered a love child with a member of their household staff, a woman named yes. Mildred Baena.
I do remember this very well. Yes.
So what's crazy is as I dug into these details, I was watching a lot of TMZ videos on YouTube, you know, lots of intel. And it's wild to me because it actually all came to light during a therapy session, all right, where Maria really? Point blank asked him if he had fathered their housekeeper's son. Because
sorry, he was bodybuilding and he was lifting weights in the hospital.
Yes. Well, here's so the affair happened in the late 1990s. All right. And it wasn't until 2011, 2010 that Maria started to notice that the 10-year-old or I don't know, 12-year-old, I don't know how old he was at the time. I'm not going to do that quick math, looked a lot like Arnold. Do you guys remember what he looked like at all? Does this ring any bells?
The kid.
Yeah, Maddie, do you have any photos of the kid on your phone? Do you?
Let me. I'm like, that's so weird. He's my background.
I think everyone should look up Joseph Baena.
Okay.
On
Joseph
Google.
I
right
didn't
now.
Realize that they discovered this that when the kid was older.
Mm-hmm.
He kept like the kid was like 10.
Yes, they had kept it a secret for years and years. I mean, she continued to work for the family while he was governor.
Okay. Oh yeah.
One thing
okay.
I will say.
Well, I mean, here's what comes up.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see what
that's
I mean?
The son. Oh my god.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes. So yes, everybody. The news broke and the whole like scandal ripped apart their family after Joseph, you know, was like 10 or 11. I'm not going to do the math once again. And apparently they had kept it a secret for more than a decade. So it's actually so sad and like crazy the way that this scandal broke within their family. So apparently Maria asked Mildred point blank when they were alone together. She said, you know, is Arnold the father of your son, Joseph? And Mildred says that she, you know, sank to her knees and started crying and, you know, said yes. And they just held each other and cried. And Mildred said that, you know, she said, it's not Arnold's fault. You know, it takes two. So Maria had asked Mildred, and then in a therapy session with Arnold, she then point blank asked him. And the therapist knew that this question was going to be like, you know, the point of that day's session. And, you know, the therapist said, Maria has come, you know, here today to ask you, you know, a question, and, you know, the rest is history. But it broke in 2011 and they got a divorce after 25 years of marriage.
So is that when they split up? Did they split up in 2011 or when did they officially split?
Well, I think they officially separated that year, but then I guess their divorce wasn't finalized until like 2018 or something, like way later. I think it took a long time separating out the finances.
I think about this sometimes, like in the next 20 years, how many kids are going to be doing DNA tests and genetic testing mm-hmm. and 23andMe and all. I mean, I know it happens all the time now, but how often is it going to happen where it's a celebrity and they do their 23andMe and they're like, so were you going to tell me this ever?
Right,
or
right.
Were you going to let me live in the dark that my dad is some random A-list celebrity that you hooked up with in the 90s?
I mean, 23andMe is destroying families everywhere. And that's a hill
left
that I'm going
right.
to die on. You guys, I need to just include a small detail that is so staggering to imagine. Maddie, you know, you're going to give birth soon here.
When this comes out, I will have birthed.
You will have birthed. Oh my gosh. I like want to say congratulations.
Wow. I have no commentary on it, seeing as we're pre-recording, But at this moment, unless if I'm still pregnant, things have gone awry because I will be very overdue. But yes. Okay. So keep going though.
So Joseph was born in the very same week as Maria delivered their youngest son, Christopher. So Mildred has her son. 5 days later, Maria has Christopher.
No.
You know, some men are really capable, Chandler, of all sorts of things. We actually have a family member who had two women give birth on the same day in the same hospital.
This is true.
Just wanting to share that men are capable of all sorts of debauchery.
That is wild. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I'm sure you guys have a similar experience like growing. I mean, Chan, you just said this with like loving Republican men that your mom loved, but you just have this idea of Republican men when you're like raised religious mm-hmm. and Christian, and especially for me being raised in Utah. And I was like, they've never done anything wrong. Like how could this be? And feeling so betrayed by like their life choices. And then you get to this age and you're like, how many other people are doing this?
Literally. Like, I don't know if you guys have watched the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary that just came out on Netflix. I haven't. But like, this man is problematic. And I know that word is sort of overused, but like, it's just interesting looking at him, like in the fact that he was still governor after like all the stuff that came to light about him. And yeah, I would say he's a bad actor. I also want to say that Joseph has done very well for himself. Okay.
Really?
This kid was on Dancing with the Stars. All right.
Oh my no. God.
Yes.
What season?
Maddie, I actually don't know. ChatGPT probably got that fact wrong too.
That's okay. I'll do a quick Goog while you're talking.
Thank you. Do a quick Goog. He did go on to star in Dancing with the Stars, which we know is the pinnacle of success. He did start to do some bodybuilding himself. And now he's a happy real estate agent. So I would say this,
that's,
you know,
fantastic.
We could tie a bow on this situation and everyone is good and Arnold loves all of his children.
I mean, I actually have so many thoughts beyond the fact, the very basic fact that becoming a real estate agent is the perfect career for anyone born to super wealthy parents, because you're just connected to super wealthy people who are buying really expensive homes. You just hit up all your parents' friends. It's like a built-in career. Anyway, but beyond that, the thing that I'm struck by about this scandal is not that Arnold Schwarzenegger stepped out on Maria Shriver. I mean, incredible women being stepped out on is a tale as old as time. But what I'm struck by is the fact that the housekeeper, well, her name was Mildred Chandler, or is Mildred? Mm-hmm. She's still Mildred. With us?
I think she's still with us.
She is. Still a housekeeper, even.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is why on earth did Mildred keeping the housekeeper? I mean, it's time to get those child support checks from Arnold, bitch.
It's so true.
That's when the blackmail should have started. My opinion. 100%. Get that bag.
Nobody's using blackmail enough. Nobody's blackmailing celebrities nearly enough.
Absolutely correct. And if there are gold diggers listening, they might be thinking, okay, my goal is to become the wife of the super wealthy guy. So I'm going to try to meet the guy at the bar, at the nice place, or whatever. A quicker con might be just becoming the housekeeper or the nanny and then getting that child support pretty quickly.
Like, but that also means you need to have a love child.
Did they have some sort of, like, I wonder if they had, like, if she was in love with him. Did she want to stick around because she was in love with him?
I think that the affair continued, you know, from the facts that I uncovered. I don't think it was just a one night stand. I think that they had an affair.
Yeah.
Like full blown.
It seems like it. And I am actually shocked to report that he was on Dancing with the Stars last year.
Oh my gosh.
2022. All of the articles that I'm seeing, 2022, Joseph reflects on Dancing with the Stars, eliminated too soon. Maybe these are recent things, but yeah, season 31, which like just happened. Yeah.
No tea, no shade, but I do think that the Dancing with the Stars casting call is really hilarious. I mean, these people are desperate.
It's bottom of the barrel for sure.
I don't understand. But sometimes there's always one in there that you're like, that the whole budget had to have gone to that one person. And then the leftovers, they were like, okay, how do we fill in 15 more spots? Because when they got like, I mean, Charlie D'Amelio was on it 2 years ago, like at the peak of her, like she was one of the most popular internet people of the year, and they got her, but then the rest of her season was people that they were like, "Okay, we can pay you $10.50 an hour." Oh my god. And that's all we have left.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the star in the name becomes a really generous name for that show, Dancing with the Stars, when you look at the lineup, that's for sure.
I know. And it always, Dancing with the Stars sucked me back in because there's always like five Utah people on it. And so I always feel this like loyalty because I'm like, I gotta like, I don't know what it is about Utah breeding Dancing with the Stars professionals, but then I feel this draw to it and it sucked me back in time and time again. I tune in.
Here's my question. Will you go on Dancing with the Stars, like maybe post-baby?
Post-baby. And if I ever need to cheat on my partner, I will definitely seek out Dancing with the Stars. I feel like that's the pipeline.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode of The Bad Broadcast is brought to you by Athena Club. All right, I am out of my cheap razor era. I've been a diehard of the cheap razor for a long time, but it is time to get the premium razor that my body deserves with Athena Club. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal. It's only $10, but don't let the price fool you, okay? Because it is heavy duty. It comes with a beautifully made handle, two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also can hang it up in your shower and it looks so cute. They have the cutest little colors. And don't forget the quality of the shave. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let hair pass through with each stroke, and you will experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. The blades on the cheap razors, they're not doing it for me. Okay. They're cutting me. They're slicing me open. I'm needing to call an EMT the minute I step out of the shower. I just want a smooth shave. Is that too much to ask? Not with Athena Club. So if you are ready to upgrade your shaving experience, switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off of your purchase with code BAD at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving with Athena Club. Once again, that is athenaclub.com and get 20% off of your purchase with code BAD at checkout. AG1 really is that girl. I first gave AG1 a try because I've been seeing it everywhere. All of the influencers that I follow, all the TikTokers that I trust have been using AG1 forever. So I tried it and I'm so happy to finally be partnering with them. Since drinking AG1 daily, I just feel better and I'm trying to get my body, you know, back in gear. Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, but it is a powerful, healthy habit that also is powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. It simplifies your routine because it has so much of what you need. It also supports healthy aging. Why is that important? Because aging is a part of life. I want to look good as I do it. You know, we can put it off for as long as we want, but at the end of the day, we're all getting older and we all want to feel good as we do it. So AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a new partner. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. This is exclusively only at drinkag1.com/badbroadcast. Once again, that is drinkag1.com/badbroadcast. Go ahead and check it out. Lauren, let's go to your first choice. Your personal, I don't know, favorite's the right word, but the scandal that you chose that defines an era.
Okay. So I think that we can all learn a lot from the following scandal. And that is Martha Stewart going to prison for insider trading. Okay.
I was so, so, so happy that you chose this.
Thank you. I feel like there's so many life lessons, golden nuggets to take away from this woman and her experience. So let me bring everyone back in time to 2002 to this insider trading scandal that landed domestic diva Martha Stewart in jail. So she sold her I'm Clone stock in 2001, allegedly on a tip from I'm Clone founder Sam Waxel, and got $58.43 a share, a total of 230 grand. That was, you know, her payout from that sale. She ended up being convicted in 2004 of lying to federal prosecutors about the circumstances surrounding the sale and spent 5 months in prison. So Martha sold her stock allegedly on worries that the FDA was going to reject Erbitux, I'm Clone's colon cancer drug. And here's the key mistake that Martha made. So Martha was not convicted of insider trading. She was convicted of obstruction of justice because she lied to federal prosecutors. She lied to the FBI. She basically ran her mouth and was talking to the FBI about this. And one of the key takeaways is for anyone who gets a stock tip, wants to sell, you know, wants to have a windfall of cash because they hear some sort of drug's not going to be approved or whatever insider tip they get, whatever Dumois DM they get that's going to hit their stock portfolio. If the FBI comes after you, don't say anything. Just shut what, like the Golden Bachelor Nancy says, zip your lip, okay? Because a lot of people say that nothing would have happened to Martha if she had just literally said nothing and lawyered up, which is very interesting.
It does seem like, I mean, not that I understand that world quite literally at all, but it does seem like avoidable to just not say it.
Well, yeah. And the thing is like, I feel like I always see headlines that's like, ex-senator sold all these shares. And then 3 days later, legislation was passed that, you know, this company, X, Y, and Z. Like, it seems like insider trading happens all the time on Wall Street and in Congress, not to be cynical or political. But anyway, so I think that this is actually like a pretty common thing that happens. And that Martha could have avoided her stay at the Alderson Federal Prison, a minimum security prison that had the lowest level of security in the Bureau of Prisons. There were no fences, and Martha, along with other inmates, were generally allowed freedom to walk around the compound unescorted. And then in terms of the jail sentence, she decided to go to jail rather than appealing her verdict so that she could still do her, basically she had shows lined up for the fall. And she could have appealed and said, I don't want to go to prison, but she didn't, because what she said on David Letterman is basically that if she had dragged it out and tried to get out of it completely, that all of her deals would have fallen through, because all these networks, they don't want to like do deals with someone who could potentially be going to prison for a long time. So she basically had
they don't
want to
plan around it.
Exactly. Gotcha. They can't plan around the unknown.
These scandals, like in the early 2000s, I mean, and I'll bring this up in mind too. They felt huge when they happened. Like if you had asked me 10 years ago, how long I thought Martha Stewart was in prison for, I honestly would have said like 5 to 10 years.
Right.
Like I would have thought, like when you hear 5 months, like you're like, oh, that was so small. But again, I mean, and I blame like the constant like social media, pop culture news cycle that we have, that things just move faster now. In the early 2000s, it's like there was one story going at a time, it seemed like. So all of these stories felt so huge. But it felt like the Martha Stewart jail sentence. First of all, I always thought that she went to jail for something like, honestly, I thought she went to jail because she was plagiarizing recipes. That's what I believed she went to prison for. Like, I thought, because there was no other, I was like, what does Martha Stewart do? She cooks. Like, I didn't put it together till I was probably far too old what she actually went to prison for.
Plagiarism is very scary, and they will prosecute you for plagiarism. Yes,
they will, especially in the cooking arena.
Yeah, it's hard to prove that you created that carbonara recipe. So that's why I've always stayed out of the recipe game.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught in that. But I feel like Martha, I mean, I love the evolution of Martha Stewart. I love where she is now. I've really enjoyed, I enjoy some Martha Stewart content still to this day.
I Absolutely. Feel like this is a fun footnote in her life story. Personally, it adds some texture, it adds some dimension, it adds some perspective.
Totally. It's now like a dinner party story. It's a party trick. A couple things I would like to call out momentarily. One, it's shocking to me that this was only for like 200 grand.
Well, again, and that's a big thing that people say is like, she literally makes that amount monthly on the just interest in her checking account. Like, it's such a paltry amount. I think that that speaks to how honestly common insider trading actually is. Mm. Like, I don't think that she was, you know, clenching her stomach and being like, I really need this 200K. So I'm just going to do this and hope no one sees. I think she was kind of picked out. They saw that she did it or whatever. They got tipped off and they picked her out to make an example of because she's famous. I don't think she thought that much of it when she did it.
I mean, can I also just say that I am looking up the prison? All right. And I'm just going to say that the BYU dorms are not far from this.
I can't imagine that the low security freedom to roam 5 month jail stay is comparable to what a lot of people go through when they're sentenced to prison.
I mean, there's probably not an honor code, okay, at Alderson.
Yeah.
The Alderson facility. But
I wonder if any cellmates have come forward who have spent significant time with Martha. I wonder if she's friends with them still.
Yeah, it's interesting. She said on Letterman that basically they all tried to laugh every day. They tried to keep their spirits up. So that was cute. But I think I was most inspired by how profoundly unbothered she seemed by the whole thing. Like, remember the footage of her getting off the private jet when she was leaving, or getting on the private jet to go back to her estate in New York? She had a fresh blowout. She had a stunning scarf she knitted. She waved to the camera. She looked wonderful. And I just think that if anything, we should all, when we face life's tribulations, try to approach them, you know, feeling entirely unbothered. Like, we can get through it.
Yeah, that's an eternal perspective, Lauren. I think that's what Martha had going into prison. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Ritual. It's good to be a skeptic. There are certain things that deserve your skepticism. Maybe it can save you money, or maybe it can keep you from wasting time at like a seminar of some sort, or maybe you don't spread gossip because you're a little bit skeptical of the person it's coming from. It is good to be wary of things. If you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, and you also read labels like it's your job, congratulations, that means you're a skeptic. And Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. You're probably short on vitamin D. Most of us are. 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting the vitamin D that they need from their diet. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in a clinical study. It's wintertime, baby. The nights are long, the days are short. We need our vitamin D. I also love the minty freshness that Ritual provides in their multivitamin. Their multivitamin has 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. Also, they are USP verified, so you know that you can trust it. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. So no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 40% off of your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/broadcast. Once again, you can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today with ritual.com/broadcast for 40% off. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by ShipStation. As a consumer, as a customer, as an online shopper, I care about shipping speed. I care about how much shipping costs. Sometimes I abandon carts if the shipping is too much or it's going to take too long. Shipping can really make or break a sale. I know we all know that as consumers, but we especially learn that as business owners. As your business grows, ShipStation can help optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands and thousands and thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. They have a free trial and quick setup, so it's easy to try things out before you commit or get started right away. I've always used ShipStation whenever I've been shipping merch or run my own website. I always connect it to ShipStation. It makes it super easy. You can have everything automated. So all of your shipping tasks, you can manage orders, print labels, compare rates. You can optimize every shipment and automate delivery notifications. ShipStation has enterprise solutions that reduce warehouse costs and improve profitability. Hello. Improve profitability. It's what we're all trying to do here, right? As your business grows, you can save thousands on shipping costs. They have industry-leading discounted rates from UPS, USPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. So optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use the promo code BAD today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. Once again, that is ShipStation.com, promo code BAD. No, I was so happy when you chose that. Again, it's one of those ones that I feel like it took up so much time when I was younger. I spent so much time thinking about it. And that's how I feel about this next one. I'm going to roll right into mine. If you're done, Lauren.
Please, I'm all set.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, this is just a topic. I binge your guys' TikToks. I want to talk about Taylor Swift. I wish we could talk about things that are happening right now, but I know this is going to come out in the future. So I won't time stamp us too hard. But a scandal that I feel like has affected my day-to-day for the last 14 years is Kanye interrupting Taylor at the 2009 VMAs. This was like, I mean, I personally feel effects, as I think we all do, as Swifties in general, feel the effects of almost 15 years later. So it was in 2009 at the VMAs. Taylor had just won the award for best female music video. And I mean, maybe I'll put the audio in right here. Kanye hops on stage and says, I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best music videos of all time. And it sparked songs, it sparked feuds, it sparked phone calls, I feel like, years and years and years. I feel like this is like one tiny piece of the Kanye. I mean, it is a one tiny piece, the beginning piece of the Taylor and Kanye saga. How did you guys feel when this happened? Because I was a Kanye fan at the time. I hate Kanye now, as I think most people do. But at the time I was like, Kanye's cool. And like, he's like a great artist. Like, I don't understand. It was like a really weird thing. Now looking back, it's obvious how, I mean, yeah, but how did you guys feel when you saw it?
So I'll just say, I completely agree with you. I think this changed the course of history forever. Absolutely. This is a watershed moment for like humanity. And I remember at the time being like, kind of like, oh, Kanye is so quirky. You know, he's just kind of ridiculous, like funny prank. I did not feel the depth of what he had done at all. In fact, I don't even know if I watched the live video until recent years. And I actually went back and watched it within the last 6 months. And I was so floored by how uncomfortable it was, how cruel it was like, it wasn't just like, it wasn't, I don't know. For some reason in my head, I kind of chalked it up to like a wardrobe malfunction at an award show where she's like, ugh, you know, shit happens. NBD.
Totally. Totally.
And then going back and watching it, I'm like, well, first of all, what a complete a-hole. So, thank you, Mom. I'm not cussing.
Yes, Deb, but
That one's for you. I was just like, I cannot believe how he did this to her. And she looks so young.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And she is, I mean, she is so young. I mean, she's only 20. Let's see. She might even be 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's standing there.
She was young.
She's standing there and she looks like a deer in the headlights. Like she just looks so uncomfortable and crestfallen and nervous. And she's trying to keep a brave face. And it's honestly, it's really hard to watch.
It is so hard to watch, especially knowing what we know now. Because, I mean, yeah, like I said, this wasn't like it happened once and then we got over it. And it was like every few months there was a new Kanye Taylor thing that came out that was
right.
And like, I mean, I felt the same way, like, you know, hearing the unedited phone call where you're just like, why was she like, I don't know. I go back to that all the time. Like, why her? Like, mm-hmm. why was it this girl that you chose, like, to put all this time and effort into knocking down as hard as you possibly could?
And I think another unfortunate side effect is that it really kind of amplified, you know, this really like dumb comparison of Beyonce and Taylor Swift. They are both incredible yes. superstars, like at the top of their game. And I think it just really like supercharged that, you know, Beyonce versus Taylor thing, which I'm so glad we kind of like are out of, like seeing them together this year and at, you know, the premiere and stuff.
Totally. I was going to say the same thing. Cause to me, I mean, that's a huge topic. People are always like, well, you're a Taylor fan or you're a Beyonce fan. And
yes.
I'm like, they are so wildly different to me in every way. I'm like they don't even seem like you could compare the two. I mean, it's apples and oranges to me.
Yes.
And like I've talked to my brothers about that. All this, they're like, well, Beyonce, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not an either or thing. And I definitely think that right. the either or started here, because obviously after the fact, Beyonce won. What did Beyonce win later in the show? And invited Taylor back up
yes.
to give her speech, which in like I think Taylor handled it really well. Personally, I would have been humiliated to go back up. I would have felt really pandered. Wait, pandered yeah. is that the right word?
Patronized, it felt condescending.
Yes, patronized. And I think that it was done out of kindness. I don't think that Beyonce like was trying to do anything like that. But personally, like if that would have happened to me and then I would have gotten called back up on stage by Beyonce, I would have been like, please don't make me go back up and bring more attention to what just happened. But
right.
then you look at it from Beyonce's point of view and it's like, what was she supposed to do? Just ignore this huge right. elephant in the room that
right.
Kanye had just done this. But personally, I'm just like, Taylor is obviously graceful as ever, you know, handled it really well and all of the subsequent things that happened with her and Kanye. But yeah, I was at you, Chan, who said it really did define like the last 10 years
it did,
of pop
in my
culture.
Opinion. I don't think yeah. we would have the Taylor we have today without that experience.
Well, like,
go ahead, Laura.
Think about her sonically. You know, we would, that moment set so many things in motion for Taylor. Mm-hmm. It set such a huge narrative for her of being kind of being bullied. And I think that we wouldn't have Reputation if that moment wouldn't have happened, because we wouldn't have had the line in Kanye's song about him making her famous. So there wouldn't
Absolutely.
Have been that phone call. Kim would not have, you know, created the We Hate Taylor moment or Taylor Swift is Over party movement. Taylor would not have gone into hiding essentially and created Reputation. It is interesting to see that really set off a cascade of cultural moments. So yeah.
I totally agree. And it's weird because I find myself not a Kardashian hater. I don't hate Kim Kardashian, but then sometimes I go back and I remember this whole thing that happened and I'm like, my loyalty remains with Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, for sure.
And just yeah. you know, like, and I mean, and then we get into the whole topic of the dynamics between Kim and Kanye and all of that, which is a whole other beast. But yeah, no, Reputation would absolutely not exist. The Taylor mm-hmm. we know and love would not exist. Because, yeah, it was probably the moment where she was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, like, I'm going to be, like, torn down by the biggest names in the music industry, which continued to happen over and over again. Mm-hmm. And, like, she has become bigger and more powerful than ever. Like, it's just the tenacity it requires to, like, overcome public humiliation like that mm-hmm. is unbelievable.
Yeah. I think like one of the things that I remain outraged to, or I remain outraged about to this day, and not to get political, but I do think that, you know, Barack Obama came out at the time and called Kanye a jackass after that. Obama was, I think, newly elected or in his first term, but no other world leader said anything. And I yeah. still feel betrayed because of that. I don't know if you guys,
yeah.
you know, ruminate on that, but I still Always. Feel like where was Xi Jinping? Okay.
Where was the queen? the queen was around. Radio silence from across the pond.
No, for real. Angela Merkel. I mean, I'm sorry. Just crickets. Like
Justin
chirping.
Trudeau.
Nothing.
Where the fuck were these people when we needed them? Anyway.
It was a global crisis at the time. But I mean, yeah, looking at it, I feel this way about Taylor. It just in general, just the pinnacle of overcoming stuff like this. I don't even know yeah. how else to phrase it, but it's like, I mean, she really is one of those artists that you look at and you're like, well, she decided to do it and she kept going and she didn't let it, you know, deter her. And she became bigger than all of this. And she, you know, there's just something about her that is admirable. Mm-hmm. And I think it started here. I think it opened her up to all of this. And I don't want to say I'm grateful for it. I don't want to say I'm glad it happened, yeah. but I am so grateful for the result of current Taylor.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It was
absolutely.
The refiner's fire she was put through.
Absolutely.
Oh, Chandler.
Yes, for
gorgeous.
Sure. So poetic. Okay, Chan, you got another one for us?
I've got another one. This one is a little bit quicker. I don't know if you guys remember Winona Ryder. She was a little bit before my time, not to age myself, but...
How old are you, Lauren? Are you 30?
I'm 33.
Oh,
I'm 30. Deep 30s. So Lauren...
You're a 40.
Is the same age as Winona Ryder.
Me and Winona Ryder are actually contemporaries, for sure.
But Winona Ryder was, you know, on the scene, you know, in the 90s with Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, the two of them were like it girls. But, you know, while Gwyneth kind of had this like homegrown, like, you know, girl next door, I don't know, type of vibe, Winona was like more of the cool girl. She was like, had darker energy. And, you know, if you remember, she dated Johnny Depp.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like she was in, I mean, she was doing like Tim Burton. She was yes. doing like some darker roles.
Like she was in Heathers, Age of Innocence, Edward Scissorhands. There's one other that I'm spacing, but
Beetlejuice.
Yes. She was nominated a bunch of times as well for Academy Awards. And so in 2001, she found herself, you know, in the center of a highly publicized scandal where she was accused of shoplifting $5,000 worth of clothing and other accessories from Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills. So, ladies, have either of you ever shoplifted before?
You know, I have, but not anything substantial. What my version of shoplifting is like, I will leave a case of water underneath my shopping cart. And I have gotten in trouble because I say this on the podcast. I also may type in a Red Delicious code when I'm buying a Honeycrisp. Okay. That's the extent. I paid the price. I got many a one-star review because I admitted that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, because you didn't vote with your dollar. That's hilarious. Oh,
yeah, because I was thinking organic, not organic theft.
That's so funny.
Oh, wait. That too.
Well, Maddie, you've now invited me to make this public omission, but I've definitely, you know, when searching for the organic versus non-organic apples, I've certainly selected the non-organic while the organic ones have been in my cart. Thank
of
you
course.
For coming
gosh,
clean.
Chandler, we don't need any more one-star reviews.
Thank you for that. It is hilarious though. The Red Delicious is that's a pretty staggering thing to do because Red Delicious apples are essentially
<There's a>
free.
Gap.
It should be free. So true.
And honestly, it's one of those things, and I'm going to ask this about Winona as well, because the question stands, why? Is it just like, sometimes I think I do it just to feel something.
Totally. I think sometimes there's the rush and the heat of the moment where you're just kind of like, what would happen if I just, you know, slip this eyeliner up my sleeve? I've never done that, for the record. I really haven't. But Winona.
Chandler.
She was Chan. Lauren, you also, you kept totally silent. Have you ever shoplifted?
Okay. I thought we were going to blaze right past me.
Never.
You know, one of my favorite things to do was to go to the Sprout when I was in college, to go to the Sprouts in Provo and to get a bag and do like put candy in it from the barrels and then just happen to eat the bag of candy while I was shopping. So by the time I got there, that was over. There was no candy.
If we're counting things like that, I may need to add a few things to my list because I definitely have gone to a salad bar and picked out the olives before I got to the checkout line. And olives are heavy. They are one of the heaviest things you can put on your salad.
What about the yogurt toppings we all have picked out before it's been weighed at Yogurtland?
Like, oh, that's so true.
Reese's are dense, bears. Everybody.
Reese's
we'll be on our
bites.
Way to Alderton. Or Alderson Federal Prison.
Okay, so it sounds like we are all shades of Winona. And let me just tell you that she made some serious blunders because she walked around, first of all, the Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills, which is, you know, that is a shopping establishment that is definitely under security and, you know, under high scrutiny. And the security cameras caught her, you know, shopping around for, you know, quite some time. She had several large bags with her. Then they caught her, or then they, you know, witnessed her going into the dressing room where she had brought a pair of scissors and she cut off the security tags. All right. Oof. So they saw all this going down. And then literally as she does pay for a few things, but then she doesn't pay for a lot of other things. She's like massive bags with her. It's all on tape. As she's walking out of the store, the security chase her down and, you know, accuse her of shoplifting. And she says to them, I am so sorry for what I've done, but I'm actually preparing for a role where the director wanted me to shoplift, which is a 12 out of 10 excuse.
It is called being an actor, okay?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know she said that. Yes. That is so good. That's so good.
And that continued to be her defense throughout court proceedings, even though no director surfaced, you know, nobody could like corroborate this account. She also got in trouble for having prescription medication that wasn't prescribed for her. And it was like possession of a controlled substance or whatever. Mm. And the trial began in 2002. And then she was accused. Let me actually make sure I have this right or what she actually was convicted of. So she was convicted of felony grand theft and vandalism charges, but she was acquitted of felony burglary. And she had to pay a fine and then she had to do 480 hours of community service.
Whoa, that's a lot of hours, seems
that
like.
Is a lot. That's a ton of hours. As someone who has had to serve...
That's my Spotify Wrapped on Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I actually have had to do community service, court-ordered community service, and that's a ton of hours. I think I had to do
like
60.
Wait, what for? What'd you do? Has this been discussed?
I think maybe at some point in the podcast, this is where it's a letdown. I was driving people in my car before you were allowed to drive people in your car on New Year's Eve. And I also didn't know how to turn. Well, I had my brights on New Year's Eve. Didn't know how to turn them off.
And I was drunk.
There was a law in California that you can't have friends in the car for your like your people in the
first
car
year.
For 6 months of driving.
Yeah,
for first 6 months.
Yeah, I think we had that too.
So
I thought you were going to say, and also you had like blow on the dashboard.
Yeah, and I was doing whippets while driving. No, but I got pulled over and the cop was like, you know, your brights are on. And I was like, yeah, I was like, not sure how to turn those off. And then he like showed me how to turn them off. And then he was like, can I see your license? Also, I had forgotten my license. I was on my way to the steak dance. But anyway, I got a huge ticket and the ticket got knocked down to a smaller ticket and community service. The best part about this whole story is that I was able to put that community service on my BYU application. I did not include that it was court ordered. Definitely helped me get in.
Wow.
Oh, yes. That's hilarious, actually.
That's making lemonade if I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Okay. Wait, is that the end
of the
Winona?
That's the end of it. Yes. Okay. Well, yeah.
What year was this? 2000 what?
2001.
2001. So she was, oh man, how old was she? A teenager still?
She was definitely in her early 20s, I want to say, or like mid 20s, because she started dating Johnny Depp. And actually, she just started dating Johnny Depp when she was like 17 or 18 in 1989. And they dated for 4 years. I actually have a much longer diatribe about how I think this can all be traced back to Johnny Depp, because I think the relationship really did a number on her. But anyway, yeah. So that is the tale of Winona Ryder shoplifting.
Yeah. I mean, again, I asked the question why, and it's like, is it, do you think it was, she wasn't sober? Do you think it was, she just craved something like rebellious?
I think she was going through it. I think it's like people who, I think it's when you are, when you're going through it, you just want, I don't know, to feel something, like you and the Red Delicious apples.
Yeah. Like some of us, you know, take that route. Some of us steal from sex.
I think, like, I want to tease out a little bit of what Chan said in terms of it running back to Johnny Depp. I think like it, like some people really care about being edgy and cool and like holding a middle finger to the system and screwing the man. And I just think there was, it was probably born out of like a, I'm just a cool girl. I don't give an F. Like, you know, it was an edgy story to tell Johnny later, probably.
No. Cause they had broken up. I actually don't believe that. Right. Because they had broken up. I think she was literally like maybe into some painkillers on a bender of some sort. And I think, it was like, it was a cry for help. Yeah. And I mean, like, just, I guess we can get a little bit into my diatribe, but like Johnny Depp, and it was her first relationship. It was the first person she ever made out with. He, like, you know, she lost her virginity to him, and they dated for a very long time. And it was a really like big relationship for her. And then he started doing What's Eating Gilbert Grape. And that's when he kind of got into all of his like substance abuse issues and like took a real dark turn.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he was that young when all of the, because he's young in Gilbert Grape.
Yeah. Well, and by the time he started dating Winona, he had already been like married and divorced and dated like other people.
Right.
And anyway, like their relationship just really like hit the skids in a really dramatic way. And they were engaged. And they were like, they were each other's like everything. And then he really went on a dark path and they just like couldn't handle it. And I think that was just really hard on her and hard on the both of them.
Yeah. Where do you guys stand right now with Winona Ryder?
I haven't watched Stranger Things, so I feel like I'm like more neutral.
Yeah, what about you, Lauren?
I think ambivalent, because I haven't been partaking of her content.
Yeah. I feel it, I mean, it's weird. I feel like she's one of those people that the name feels bigger than the actual person to me. Like the name Winona Ryder feels huge. Like, I don't feel like you would ever run into somebody who doesn't know who that is. But when I sit and think about like, oh yeah, am I like a huge fan of her? Do I like know that much about her? I really don't. I don't dislike her. I don't, but it is just crazy. Again, going back to these early 2000s moments where they were everywhere. They seemed so huge. I think that Gwyneth is much more famous than Winona, but she's still one of those names to me that like Gwyneth Paltrow, it feels like this
A-list.
Huge name,
right.
A-list, most famous person. I mean, people are like, it was Gwyneth, it was Madonna, it was, and then I'm like, I don't really think about Gwyneth Paltrow that often.
Right.
Like, I don't consume a lot of GP like stuff.
That would make one of you, because Lauren and I are, unfortunately, we can't get enough.
This is where our words would,
I knew it.
To your point, in a wood.
To your point about Winona, she also went on a huge break after this scandal, and that's an important detail. Yeah. So I think that's why also she's not, you know, she was like, it kind of derailed her career for a very long time. And she think, like, she acts grateful for that, honestly. It gave her time to like heal.
I also think, though, that that's primarily a function of the fact that, you know, being famous at the height and being at the height of your career, when someone like Winona or Gwyneth or Cameron Diaz or any of those stars that were really upper echelon at that time, I think they're such big household names because there were so fewer celebrities.
Yeah.
Like now, everyone, like, I saw Alex Cooper go on Jimmy Kimmel, and like Alex Cooper came from, you know, she's a self-made internet star. And now that's really kind of the thing. There's so many internet stars that have I think that the celebrity landscape, it's just huge now. And there's so many more famous people. So the people that were famous before, they just feel a lot more iconic to me.
No, you're so spot on. And I think that's exactly the point that I'm trying to make, like the name Gwyneth, like, I don't think that we will ever have that again. I don't think we'll ever have another Leo, another Brad, another. And people are always like, well, Timothée Chalamet. I'm like, no, it will be vastly different. Like, yes. I feel like I always hear, I've talked about this before where I'm like, I don't think we'll ever have celebrities like that ever again. And people are like, but Florence Pugh and Timothée Chalamet. And I'm like, it's just not going to be the same thing.
If I can just share this weird thought I have about it or conspiracy theory, but I really think that if you go back 30 years, if you just look visually at who was famous, it's like night and day for how hot these people used to be. I mean, think about Johnny Depp in his prime, Brad Pitt in his prime. Think about Kevin Costner, all these people who were so fit. It was like really the hottest, most talented people. That's really who rose to the top. But now I think it's like who has the most Instagram followers, they get the modeling job, you know, they get the job in the movie, and things have kind of changed. And I do think that that's a little bit also part of it is like visually, you know, honestly, stars of the past just were like much like just so attractive.
Lauren yearns for the days when celebrities were hotter.
I do yearn for these times.
I totally get it. And maybe we sound like old ladies, like reminiscing, like maybe it's like our grandma's reminiscing on like Brando.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. And it's like, maybe, I mean, part of me thinks there's just too many opinions out there as we're three women who literally started podcasts for only our opinions yes. and nothing else. You can reach more people. You can get more people's feedback. You can people, you know, like quirky celebrities and, you know, ugly, hot celebrities and celebrities that seem artistic and celebrities, you know, it's like, because everybody has input, like in the 90s and 2000s, it's like you went with like the kind of the golden standard of things and you served it to people. You didn't crowdsource what was cool about each celebrity individually. And, you know, like you just, you got like who was the peak of talent and hotness. And then we got them and that's who we had.
Yeah. And I think supermodels and actors of the 80s and 90s, they do represent that certain zenith. But I also think that right now it's so much, it's a much more fun time to be alive and to be creating content and to be doing things because it's less shallow. And because, you know, you don't have to be born a model, you know, you can get plastic surgery to look like a model like Bella Hadid. I mean, that's a story of, you know, equality. You can.
She's showing us that it's all possible.
It's all possible. Or, you know, it's not even about how you look. And I think this is a way better time to be alive personally. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Okay. Well, it seems we'll probably each get through two. I know we all have three, but let's do our second. Let's go into Lauren. What do you got for us?
You know, I want to come with an apology. The assignment was a scandal of the 2000s. But I'm going to rewind the clock a little bit further to 1988, okay, before either of you were born. I wasn't born either.
Are you so an
80s?
Before
any of us. Oh, no. That's
just what I was like, wait.
Thank goodness. No shade to our friends born in the 80s. Anyway, but I want to bring us back to 1988 because this is a very fun fact that I had no idea about. And this is, let's see, this is the Rob Lowe sex tape. So are any of you aware of Rob Lowe filming a sex tape?
So I am only aware because I enjoy a Comedy Central roast and I watched the Rob Lowe roast and that, and I remember being like, why Rob Lowe? Like, why is this who they picked? And then when it started, I was like, this guy has a sex tape with maybe a minor.
Thank you. Chandler, did you know about this?
I was just going to say, if you can consider Parks and Rec to be a sex tape for Rob Lowe, then yes.
No, so Rob Lowe, so this is kind of has hit news cycles more recently because Rob Lowe wrote a memoir. And so, you know, he was doing a lot of interviews and he couldn't leave this out of his life story. So Rob Lowe credits his 1988 sex tape with positively changing the trajectory of his life. So more than two decades ago, a home sex tape, which included the actor, was leaked to the press. In the grainy tape, Lowe starred in a steamy encounter with a 16-year-old girl from Atlanta, as well as a 23-year-old girl. Yes.
What?
Knew there was a minor in there.
On the night of July 17th, 1988, when we were still in the premortal existence, Rob Lowe allegedly picked up Parsons.
Where we were tuned in, but not on Earth.
We were choosing between the battle of good and evil at this point.
But anyway, down in the earthly realm, okay, Rob Lowe was at Club Rio, an Atlanta night spot, and he picked up two girls. He took them back to the Atlanta Hilton, very classy,
continental breakfast,
with what appeared to be their cooperation. I mean, thank God for that. And taped the ensuing sex scene. After the tape's release, Lowe maintained that he didn't know one of the girls was underage. He ultimately settled a lawsuit with her family and was not charged with a crime. So despite the media firestorm he faced at the time, Rob is thankful that the controversy helped him refocus his priorities. This is a quote from Rob. This is what he has to say. He says, "It's one of the reasons why I got sober. I woke up one day and I was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm 29 years in and people talk," referencing that, you know, people knew about the sex tape. "And it's the best right. thing that's ever happened to me. Honestly, because of it, I got me sober. And because I'm sober, I'm married. I've been married for 29 years and I have two great sons. And I don't think any of that happens without going through that scandal." I mean, are you guys tearing up?
I am.
I mean, I'm moved. I'm considering maybe a similar path if I'm needing some life changes. Okay, so what was Rob Lowe even famous for at this point? The Outsiders? Like, what was he even in?
You know, I would need to pull up his IMDb. I don't remember, but it appears that he was quite successful.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm late to the Rob Lowe game. He wasn't even on my mind in my brain until Parks and Rec. Like I thought,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to look up his IMDb. Yeah, I want to see.
Look it up. You're doing that, I'm going to read a comment from someone on Reddit who said, "File this in the white dude privilege files. Rob Lowe, who birthed the celebrity sex tape genre in a video featuring a minor, now makes bank hyping Nutrisystem. The closest he ever came to an apology was saying that the scandal led to his sobriety with no mention of how it affected the underage girl." It is such an interesting note of timing that, like, because of the way that all this unfolded, he just never really, really suffered the consequences.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask that about if she had ever come forward, if like she had ever made a statement or anything, because that's really like who suffers here, obviously, right. is this underage girl and the other girl. Even not being underage, it doesn't mean that she wasn't traumatized by whatever media shitstorm happened to her after that. And it's like, it is so, yeah, I don't even know the word. Disheartening maybe to hear Rob be like, "It was the best thing that ever happened to me." Yes. And these girls are like, "Cool. Like that took me 25 years of therapy and I'm still not over it."
Also, something sobering is that I think I did more community service for my traffic ticket than Rob Lowe did for this sex tape, because he had to do only 20 hours of community service.
Okay. So on his IMDb, it looks like, I mean, the title that sticks out the most to me is St. Elmo's Fire. So he was in that in 1985. And then, yeah, it looks like, I mean, I don't think I've seen any of these. It looks like he was in Wayne's World, but that was after 1992. But yeah, I mean, he was in Tommy Boy. Didn't know that. Anyway, so he was not unsuccessful.
Absolutely. And I think he talked a little bit about how like he said he's 18, I think, when he really kind of rose to fame. And obviously Rob Lowe is super attractive. And I'm sure that it was some sort of a toxic mix to be rising to all this fame, having all this money and freedom at such a young age. So anyway, just a tale of triumph of overcoming.
Just your classic underdog story, really. Exactly. Is what we have here. Is what we have. Cause yeah, Rob Lowe, yeah, is it Nutrisystem? Is it Weight Watchers? Where has he landed?
Nutrisystem. He is a spokesperson for Nutrisystem. He, you know, is very wealthy. He's married for 29 years. I mean, really, if there's anyone aspiring to get married who's listening, aspiring to get sober, perhaps a sex tape with a minor. No, that's a terrible joke. Excuse me. Could help you on your path.
It could. Yeah. Rob Lowe, admittedly, is a little bit of a blind spot. His roast is really funny. I don't know if you guys ever watched those Comedy Central roasts.
No,
I don't know why.
I haven't seen them.
They're so dumb. I don't know why. Like, but actually Martha Stewart does the Justin Bieber roast and she's hilarious. She does
really?
So well. Yeah. So I don't know why. I just have loved those. But yeah, the Rob Lowe one is good. And there's a really good, the Alec Baldwin, which I almost picked an Alec Baldwin scandal for my next one, the Ungrateful Little Pig voicemail. But I did not pick that on my list. Ooh, we will have to do a part two where we... I mean, Alec Baldwin was almost on my list. Mel Gibson was almost on my list. Mm-hmm. There were some big 2000s ones, but where I landed was the Tiger Woods cheating scandal of 2009. I'm realizing I went with 2009 with both of them. But Tiger Woods, let's see, it was 2009 when reports surfaced about his extramarital affairs. And this is another one of those ones similar to the Schwarzenegger one where you're like, you have this idea of this male celebrity, and mm-hmm. because you only have, you know, this tiny little sliver of who they are in your mind, they've never done anything wrong. And especially with athletes, like I even remember learning that Michael Jordan was like not a great guy. And I was like, what do you mean? It's Michael Jordan. He's like the pinnacle of basketball. Like he should be the best guy ever. I felt that way about Tiger Woods because he was so much bigger than golf. I mean, yeah. I don't know anything about golf. I don't consume golf content ever, but everybody such knows who Tiger Woods is. Such a star. And you just assume that these athletes are good guys. I don't know, at least in the early 2000s. Now I'm really jaded against professional athletes in a lot of ways. But at the time, you know, he had this beautiful wife. They had two kids together. I know it's E-L-I-N. I think it's Elin is how you say her name. Elin Nordegren. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they find out and then it was huge. And I've seen a ton of TikToks about it where people are like, why did I cry in 2009 when I found out that Tiger Woods cheated? But that was how it felt because it was just this, he was so much bigger than just being a professional golfer. So yeah, then, you know, that same night he's in a car accident. He took a hiatus from golf, later apologized for his actions. Obviously it affected him for a time, but like many of these scandals, they usually find their way back on top. And I feel like that's where Tiger is now. And I was actually talking to my brother, Taylor, who's a big golfer. And I was like, how did we lose the plot here? Cause I thought we were like I thought that Tiger Woods is like not great. Like I thought that we were all on board for like Tiger is a bad guy, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, the news cycle just keeps rolling and these people they get back on the horse, they start playing golf again and magically we forget. And I feel like that happens quicker than ever now. I actually just brought this up in an episode, like how has Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher, like we're no longer talking about that. It was mere months ago I don't think anybody's given it a thought since then. So while it was a slower process in the 2000s, I think that the more I learn about scandals, the more I learn. I don't think they're very rarely detrimental long term.
Yeah.
I mean, Louis C.K. is touring again. I feel like no one really gets canceled forever. I also am willing to wager, though, back to Tiger, that the primary demographic of Tiger fans are Republican dads. I mean, not a design political, just men. I don't think most men give a shit about cheating scandals. Like at all.
No, I don't care.
I don't think he lost a single PGA fan during that. He just fell out of favor with like the minivan majority of moms who saw it on Us Weekly.
No, you're so right. And what else is weird is that he cheated with dozens of women. I think that some people reporting hundreds of women, like it was, you know, sex workers, it was acquaintances, it was friends of friends. It was like, and unfortunately, like, I think that bothers people less than like, oh, he had a long-term affair relationship with one person. Like when people are like, he's just, you know, people write it off as all these different things. He was partying and he had this money and all this stuff. It's like more off-putting for people when it's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. Like he had this relationship with this one woman and he had a, you know, an emotional affair or whatever it might be, you know?
Do you potentially think that's because like when someone steps out with one other person or, you know, and it's kind of more of a standard affair story versus like this person is hiring hundreds of prostitutes or sex workers. Like, do you feel like that might be because it's like, oh, this guy has like a mental illness. Like he clearly is unwell. And this is like such an aberration that this is not about Elin at all. This is about his huge issues. And I don't know. I think that might be why people like put it in a different category.
Yeah, I totally think that some people do that and they say, oh, it's like the burden of fame. It was his escape. Yeah. It was his addiction. It was his, you know, they write it, you know, they put it on par, pun intended, on par with like a drug addiction or something, right. You know, and it's like he was struggling through this. It was so hard for him. Since then, I mean, he has a relationship with his kids. There's been clips of him and his son, Charlie, golfing together. And, you know, he's made jokes about how Charlie's going to be better than him. And by all accounts, it seems that he and his ex-wife co-parent just fine. I mean, it's been, what is this now, 15 years since then. I think that she is remarried also, but yeah, I don't know. The other thing with Tiger Woods, I just don't like him. I just don't. I feel like he dated Lindsey Vonn, I believe, mm-hmm. the professional skier for a while. Yes. I mean, she said that there was a ton of toxicity there. I don't know. I just, he's I don't like him. Bottom line, I don't really like him.
I agree. He doesn't have especially given this, but he doesn't have role model vibes at all.
No, not at all. And I think that, I don't know, and I could go on and on with this in regards to sports all the time, but I could go on and on about this in sports in general, that we tend to write off bad behavior because of the skill mm-hmm. or because of the talent, or because, you know, and we really don't hold athletes to a character standard. Mm-hmm. I think about Floyd Mayweather, who literally beats up women,
right?
Like has you know, been charged with domestic violence against his partners. And we're like, but he's the best to ever do it. Like, he's the best boxer ever. And it's like, it's weird how depending on the field that celebrities work in, that's kind of where we decide how much they can get away with.
Right.
And I also, I don't know. I just think that I feel like I just have come to be so jaded when it comes to powerful, rich celebrity men. And it's almost sometimes can be something I just come to expect. Like, it's almost a surprise. Mm-hmm. Like, it's surprising to me that Rob Lowe turned out to then have a faithful marriage for almost 3 decades now. And, mm-hmm. you know, it did turn his life around. And so I feel like that's the thing that actually shocks me.
Yeah, no, you're so right. And what a world to live in when we are shocked by fidelity.
I mean, I think I'll just offer a small prayer that Travis Kelce ends up being the man we think he is. Oh, Chandler.
I don't, again, this is coming out in the future. So everything I'm like, because I just did an episode about them and I'm like, I'm going to give you guys a warning. I don't know what happened for the month of December, but I am hopeful. I feel like, anyway, that's a whole other thing. I won't drag us down that rabbit hole, cause I'll talk for hours. Okay. But we'll wrap up here. We're just going to have to do a part two. We're just going to have to revisit the scandals of the 2000s, but please tell everybody where they can find Pop Apologists, where they can find you guys. And also, I meant to do this at the beginning. I don't know why we dove in so fast, but I feel like the podcast for you guys has evolved so much since the last time I was on and since the last time we talked, because you guys do, I mean, I know Pop Apologists and obviously you guys this is a huge topic, but you guys cover everything. So talk about where the podcast is now, what you guys usually do week to week, and then where to find you.
Love it. We are on twice a week. So we have two episodes that come out, one on Wednesday, and then for our free episode, it's our main episode of the week. And then we have a Friday exclusive episode for Patreon subscribers and subscribers on Apple. And so we really cover the gamut of celebrity topics. We do deep dives on, you know, great celebrity romances. A favorite episode is the Great American Romance of JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. So that's an incredible episode that people love. But yeah, we dig into all things pop culture and pop culture history. So you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists. And no, I just have to say, I mean, your guys' content, I mean, I would say this off air, on air, you guys are so good. You guys are the research, the detail, the way you talk about things. I'm trying to think of what one was it? It was a royal family episode, I think. Cause you guys have covered the royal family, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay, no, not enough if you're asking me. you guys make such a great team, and I really do enjoy. I mean, and you guys crush the, I mean, Chan was asking me like, do you film this? Do you put it anywhere? I'm like, I should, because your guys' videos, I mean, if people want to binge a great TikTok, please head to Pop Apologist.
Thanks so much, Maddie.
Love to have been connected with you guys through this weird podcasting journey. But we'll hop off here, and yeah, Pop Apologist, anywhere you get your podcast, and it's just Pop Apologist on Instagram and TikTok, right?
Correct. Yep. Pop Apologist.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having us, Maddie.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind the scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.